Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, hi, welcome to another episode of The Emma Gunn Show. I'm your host, Emma Gunn Wardner, and in this episode, I'm going to talk about books because a question I've been asked a lot recently by you, my brilliant listeners, are around things like, what are your favourite books? So I thought, well, that sounds like a good topic for a pod a day in May. And when I did post on social media about a pod a day in May and the things that I was interested in, what you wanted me to cover... And just in case you're wondering, you can find me on social media where I'm at Emma Gunns. A lot of people came back, not only asking what books I'm reading, but they also wanted to know things like what books I reread time and time again, my favourite non-fiction books, my favourite fiction books, and how I make time to read. And so it just became clear that it's something that we could maybe open up a little bit on this episode of the show. And before I even talk about reading, I feel like I have to confess one thing. And that is that I'm not actually particularly good at absorbing information from books. To put it another way, I'm not very good at learning from books. My brother Gavin, who's been on the show, is incredible at it. He can absorb and interpret from books, and he's brilliant. He was always very good at school, aced his exams, all that kind of stuff. And he learns in a way that I can't even comprehend. And as in adult life, we've had the odd row about it because he'll say, oh, read this book. And I'll be like, I can't learn the same way you do. I have always said that I'm monkey see, monkey do. I can watch a cookery program, watch somebody do a full Christmas lunch, etc. And I can potter off to the kitchen and I can go and replicate it pretty much without any errors. So it's very easy for me to understand and interpret and do. But ask me to sit down and read that same recipe with the instructions and the ingredients and everything, and I'm going to muck it up. It's just not in my wheelhouse. That's not how I process information. And for a long time, this made me feel very stupid, because the main way of teaching in schools, definitely back in my day, was via books. All lessons were supported by further reading, and that's the point at which I'd get lost. My marks were always low, I always skated very close to the pass-fail mark, and I didn't do well in exams. I don't think I'm stupid now, but I definitely felt stupid when I was younger. And I was defined as not very bright at school. And I was actually asked, along with a group of about 10 others, to sit my exams at a different college so as not to bring down the average of the results when it came to like big exam time. But anyway, it's all in the past. I'm sure I don't hold any resentment despite having just told you that. Anyway, apparently a lot has changed in schools since the 1990s, and pupils' learning abilities are identified and then catered to. But if you're curious, there are actually different ways of learning. So there's visual, so that's preferring to use pictures, images and spatial understanding. So that's probably more me. Oral, which is prefer the use of sound and music, also me, also potentially why I started a podcast. Verbal, another podcast one, using words, speech and writing. Physical or kinesthetic, prefer using body, hand, sense of touch. Logical, using logic, reasoning and systems. Social, which is learning in groups and with other people. And solitary, which is preferring to work alone and using self-study. So for a while, because of my experiences at school, I gave books a wide berth. I thought they weren't for me, and even going, you know, I'd buy them, but I'd never really read them. But actually, it was struggling with my mental health that ignited a real love for them. For the first time, I have to be really honest, they became very safe ports in a mental storm with rays of hope on every page. So it seems as though self-help or non-fiction books are a great place to start with my favourites, don't you think? So there's the life changer. And this is of no surprise to anyone who's listened to this show more than once, is Jen Sincero's You Are a Badass. Now, the full title, I will tell you, is You Are a Badass, How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life. Now, I've had Jen Sincero on the show a couple of times, and the second time, which was earlier this year, 2019, I told her that not only did I think her books were life changers, I thought they were life savers. Jen's books, along with other tactics, obviously, helped me, and I say obviously because I think it's a lot to put all of that on one book, helped me personally to change my outlook from one that was very negative and bleak and hopeless to one that was positive, bright and hopeful. I've bought this book for so many people and recommend it constantly because I found it so useful. And the people who I have given it to or recommend read it have always come back to me and said, I really get it, I really like it. The vocabulary Jen uses, the tone she takes, the way she communicates, it just really speaks to me because it's a type of tough love. She's on your side, and that's the kind of motivation I like. I don't like this namby-pamby nonsense. I want someone to say, yep, do you know what? It's not good, but this is how to get better. I actually buy a few copies at a time. And when people come over, if they say they're feeling a little unmotivated or despondent, I will give them a copy. No expectations. I'll just say, you know, you might just give this a little once over. Give this a look. You might like it. I'm going to put the link to it in the show notes. But that, hands down, is the book that I go back to time and time again. And actually, I remember thinking about a little while ago, I can't remember the time, I remember thinking, oh, if only she could just put together like a snippet version of it. Because sometimes I don't want to dig into the whole book or read a whole chapter. I just kind of want to dip in and dip out. And then she wrote You Are a Badass, the everyday journal that she came on to talk about last time. And it is exactly that. Each page is, it's like a page or two maximum, and each one is its own sort of little thump on the back in a good way. The mind opener is The 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss. I'm a big fan of Tim Ferriss's. You don't have to have listened to the show for very long to know that. And I think what I enjoy so much about his approach is the lateral thinking. For example, the idea of the minimum effective dose, which for him is literally going down to a cellular level. I always think of the example in the book, which is in the weights room, like you can do 12 reps at a certain weight, but if you do one rep at this weight, you get exactly the same physical response. So he talked about, you know, getting his gym kit on, going to the gym, doing one rep and leaving, because on a biological cellular level, he's done the same amount of, he's affected the same change, the same impact on his body that he wanted, but without having to do a series of reps, which I thought was really fascinating. So it's this kind of, there is the minimum effective dose, and then how to hack your way to a better life via a much more efficient means. And it's sort of breaking the what you understand to be normal, or the thing that you maybe have held as normal for a long time, and now you're a completely different person, or you're a different age, and so you can look at something differently. And when I was in the depths of depression, I couldn't find a way to move forward positively. That was the thing. I was so tangled up, and with the help of therapy, among other things, I realized I was tangled up. And you get to a point where you're so tangled up that you can't move, like you're so knotted up that you're just a ball of knots. And I think a lot of those knots were what I thought to be normal. And they had got me knotted up. I'm getting into a very strange wool knot analogy here. But the depression was deep, in large part because I couldn't make any progress, because everything I tried, you know, everything was a dead end, so to speak. So the first step was to gently start unknotting what I thought was normal and redefining it so I could move forward positively. And I do feel that that's a technique that Tim Ferriss's books, especially The 4-Hour Workweek, really offer and show proven results with, which is really useful. And it just seems to me that Tim's approach is to not be anchored by what you think you know, but to be open to other routes. With the example of Tim, it is about success in the main, and that's by whether it's tapping into other people's strategies or going into the lab and doing the tests and control experiments or whatever. So I'm very glad that he's taken the time to do that, because I don't have the means to. But I think with his books, it's about being plastic and being open and trying unconventional ways of doing things. And if they work for you, then that becomes your, in inverted commas, normal. Although normal obviously is a slightly, can be a slightly strange word to use, but let's just use it in the context of inverted commas. So I think we're all on the same page. It might not necessarily be a book that contains all the answers, The 4-Hour Workweek, but that's not the resource I found it to be personally for me. But it does open your mind. It does make you think slightly differently, which... it's helpful. It's good. It's nice to open your mind and expand one's horizons. The next book is Recovery by Russell Brand. Such a favourite. And I'm not all the way through it yet, and you'll understand why when I tell you what it's like. So I used to do a brilliant impression, I like to think, of Russell Brand when he was on Celebrity Big Brothers, but on the side, involving him pulling down his trousers and pulling out his dinkle. So it is a little surprising that I now count his self-help, self-improvement books as some of my most trusted, and his podcast is flipping brilliant. But Recovery in particular is an interpretation of the 12 Steps program that can be applied by anyone to anything. It's quite confronting, but as with Jen Sincero, you do feel as though you're in safe hands with Russell, because he's been there, done it, and lives it. Each chapter is explains why this step is worth taking, and it guides you through how to take it. And there is a stumbling block in chapter 4, because it requires you to write down all the things that are effing you up or have ever effed you up. And you can't lie or leave anything out, and you have to sort of write it down and explain in what ways it effed you up. And you do need to sit down with it and write that down and put the little symbols next to it about which part of you are effed up. And in my case, I created a spreadsheet, which then took me 4 months to actually get to filling out, because it takes a long time. So I was very reassured when Russell said, when I got to step 5, and he was like, you might have found that it took you a long time to do step 4. I felt like I was on the right path. Some of it's really tough to say out loud or write down in black and white. It really is. And I'm still not at the end of this book, but even with the first third, just over a third, I feel as though progress is being made. And it is that thing of confronting, writing it down. And again, I definitely come from the school of thought of, if you know something, if you know there's a problem, you can work on it, rather than if you know there's a problem, you can just go, oh yeah, there's a problem. And I feel like Recovery identifies it, but then allows you to move forward from it. Another one, and she's been on the show as well, is The 4 Tendencies by Gretchen Rubin. And Gretchen, like Jen, has been on the show a couple of times. And the first time she came on was to talk about The 4 Tendencies. And the reason I found this book so useful, and think of it as a self-help book, is that it identifies different personality types based on how you respond to external and internal expectations. So expectations from others and expectations from yourself, from you. I think it's an excellent tool in understanding yourself, but also understanding others. One's tendencies do tend to shape your behavior, or not do tend, they shape your behavior. So if you understand your tendency, you can better navigate the world, and you can better avoid things that will trigger you, and you can run towards things that will make you feel good. And if you understand other people's tendencies without getting them to sit down and do a test and confirm it, but if you can kind of understand where someone else is coming from, it helps with work. I definitely look back now and think, oh God, that person I used to work with, who I never understood why they always seemed like they were shirking. Actually, it wasn't. It's just that they had a different way of doing things. And it's a really good exercise in going, everyone's different and your way ain't the right way. So back down. The four tendencies are obliger, questioner, upholder, and rebel. Trust me, find out which one you are and a lot of things will start making sense. I'll put the link to the episodes of the show where Gretchen was a guest in the show notes. I'll also put the link to the online Four Tendencies quiz. And I'll obviously put the link to Gretchen and all the books mentioned on this podcast in the show notes, just as a reminder. Now, this is my most recent book purchase, actually, in terms of self-help. And it was highly recommended. And it's Mastery, The Keys to Success and Long-Term Fulfillment by George Leonard. This is a current read and it's not a huge book and therefore shouldn't take long to read. I still haven't finished it. And again, it takes a look at personality types, motivating yourself, learning to lean into and enjoy the plateau. Clue, a plateau is actually a necessary springboard to even more greatness. I'm not all the way through it and it should be, given that it's probably, a 3 to 4 hour read maximum. But I want to give it my full attention, and that means actually consuming it in snippets rather than long sessions with it, because my mind will wander and I won't absorb it. See above in terms of learning abilities. So I am being quite structured with it and going, right, today's my head's in the right place. Today's a day for mastery. There are a lot of self-help and self-improvement books out there, and it really is about finding a tone that suits you. And as I mentioned earlier, my preferred tone is tough love. It's fine to acknowledge that you're in a crappy place, but these books, the ones I feel very confident sharing with you, my most excellent listeners, are the ones that'll say, yeah, it's bad, but now let's make it better, and show you the tools and tactics to navigate your way out of the storm. And I get a lot of messages about this, so we'll just take a little tangent. I'm very happy to talk about my mental health, but I don't want to be defined by the worst of it. Yes, I've absolutely struggled, and ever since I acknowledged that and understood that, there's always a part of my brain that's on and running an antivirus program to check for signs of malware, always. But the one thing I'd say to anyone who feels crap is don't identify as crap. Acknowledge it, but view it as temporary. Identify as improving, or whatever word or status makes you feel like Beyonce on the main stage at Coachella, you know? Thanks for coming to my TED talk. that's a joke. Anyway, a lot of the questions from you, again, my most excellent listeners, actually asked about finding the time to read. So I thought, in addition to my favorite self-help books, which is probably the most popular book-related question, I also thought I'd share how I consume books. And notice how I said consume. I am far too connected to social media for work, she says, to have the attention span to really get lost in a book. And I really, really hate that I'm saying that, but it's true. Ugh, it's so awful. My English teacher would be so upset with me. So I have some techniques and tactics so that I can, now that I feel like I have a better relationship with books, I now have some tactics to consume them in a way that means that I enjoy them and take them in, absorb them and learn from them. So hard copy books are for nonfiction, self-help and reference books only. So these are the books I want to dip in and out of. So Jen Sincero's book's a great example. Have a hard copy of that. And every now and again, I think, oh, I might need to just pop back into that. And I can just there's a dog-eared page or a post-it sticking out of the top when I go to the section that I know will help. Whereas fiction is exclusively consumed via my Kindle unless publisher very kindly sends me a copy. I'm currently reading The Dirt, the Motley Crue memoir the band wrote with Neil Strauss, who's an excellent writer, and it's a page turner, so the Kindle is perfect. I'm torching through it like you wouldn't believe. If you like that era of music, then the Motley Crue film The Dirt on Netflix is quite the movie to watch. I find it easier to read fiction this way personally, and it's where I read all of Lindsay Kelk's books, and it's just my easy read resource. And I'm very excited because at the time of recording this episode, Lindsay's final book in the I Heart series is imminent. And so I'm very excited about loading that onto my Kindle, but also a little bit upset because obviously it's going to be the end of an era. I have in the last year really got into Audible. I would say it would be like, the last year, last 12 months. And I actually bought Recovery, the Russell Brand book I mentioned earlier, in hard copy and on Audible so that Russell can read it to me. Like I said, it's quite confronting. It's not the easiest read. You have to be really honest with yourself about things that have maybe held you back or mistakes that you've made or stuff that you've done that you want to try and fix. And having Russell talk you through it whilst you're reading it is, for me, really helpful. I feel as though it helps with the absorption. His voice is like a spoonful of sugar with the medicine. It's also where I listen to autobiographies or books read by people I like. I think I did Lily Allen's autobiography, My Thoughts Exactly, in two sessions. It was excellent to listen to because she read it so beautifully. She just had a really great tone with how she read it, and I couldn't turn it off. Call Me By Your Name, you may be familiar with the film, but the book is on Audible is read by Armie Hammer, who stars in the movie. And he has the kind of voice that makes you want to go up to him and ask him to hum and then hold you, because it's just, he's got such beautiful resonance. So it's exquisite in your ears. And I listen to it for the content of the book, but also sometimes at bedtime, because it's quite nice to go to bed with Armie Hammer's voice in your ears. So sue me. I may be wrong. I love it. I also listened to What I Know For Sure, which was recommended to me by Adam Reed, by Oprah. And Oprah telling you what she knows for sure definitely is a great audio companion. But also on my Audible library that I haven't got round to yet, but are on my list, But Enough About Me, written and read by Burt Reynolds, The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown, Can't Hurt Me, I'm really excited to listen to that one, by David Goggins. He's been on Joe Rogan's podcast, and definitely want to listen to that book, but it needs, again, needs my full attention. Astrophysics in a Hurry by Neil deGrasse Tyson. I don't know how I'll get on with that, because, you know, astrophysics, not my specialist subject, but I thought it would be worth, I figured if I was going to consume astrophysics, it would be good to give it a go by Audible. And The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, or Toll. Everyone says it differently. I think it's Eckhart Tolle. Anyway, so those are not only my favourite self-help books, but also the ways in which I consume my books. And I hope that that's been helpful. I hope that that has answered all of the listener questions. I will put the links to all of the books and all of the episodes featuring the authors of those books into the show notes, and also the links to the Audible books that I've also mentioned. But please do get in touch. Let me know what your books are. If you're not a member of the closed Facebook group for the podcast, I honestly recommend it highly. There are some great conversations, and we've talked previously in that group about having a book club, and it's never really got off the ground. But if we have a great response to this episode, then it might be the time and the place to start the book club in the Facebook group. So the link to join will, of course, be in the show notes. And if you want to get in touch with me privately to recommend a book or talk about a book or whatever, then email me at thebeautypodcast@gmail.com. I'd be so delighted to hear from you. It really is my favourite part of the show. And if you think, oh, can't be bothered to email, but I quite fancy sending Emma a DM on social media, then do that. I am at Emma Guns on Twitter and Instagram, and slide into the DMs. If you're not following me, or if I'm not following you, I check all the requests as well. So I will get it. And it would be a delight to have a chat with you about all of these books, and whether you like these, whether you feel the same way about Jen, Russell, Gretchen, or whether you have any recommendations for books or ways of reading, other ways of consuming that you think I should be talking about on this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. It's been another pod a day, mate. So I will see you on the next one.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.